this supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Allah's salutations be upon all of you, dear friend, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan. So welcome to this program. Today's special. The topic of this episode is about promoting piety in the month of Ramadan.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Today, Thursday, is the 23rd of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Ordibehisht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 189.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يسألونك عن الأهلة قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج وليس البر بأن تأتوا البيوت من ظهورها ولكن البر من اتقى وأتوا البيوت من أبوابها واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون.
They ask you, O Muhammad, about the new moons. Say, they are measurements of time for the people and for Hajj. And it is not righteousness to enter houses from the back, but righteousness is in one who fears Allah, and enter houses from their doors, and fear Allah that you may succeed.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran explicitly says that righteousness lies in piety, not in superstitious customs. For the fulfillment of any action, whether it is a ritual action or a non-religious one, we should enter it through its proper way, not from a deviated path. Here, entering from behind is a figurative expression for turning aside from the right course, and entering by the door means striking to the right path. In the commentaries from Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, it is narrated about this verse that they have said, We are the doors and the ways of Allah that invite unto Allah's heaven. The month of Ramadan is the month for promoting piety. The month of Ramadan is the month of piety. All of us need piety more than others. Piety should be promoted among all people. Therefore, the month of Ramadan is the month of promoting piety. Piety means showing fear or showing consideration. In the great moment of human life, you have been shown a straight path which is filled with problems. Take the case of a piece of land which is filled with mines here and there. Then they open a path and say that this is the safe path and that you should take it. This is the straight path. Showing consideration for Allah and fear Allah means taking care not to deviate from this straight path. You should not deviate from it, lest you get struck and face serious problems.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to today's special broadcasting from IRIB English Radio Station. We hope that you are doing well and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all your worships during this holy month and to keep you fearful of Him. And that is what we heard from this supplication when we say to امتحن قلبي فيه بتقوى القلوب and try my heart with a fearful heart. Here, of course, it's important, the concept of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa al-qulub. See, sometimes there are two kinds of people. There are people who are true from their inside and outside. And there are people who are true from the outside. And only from the outside. They don't have that trueness in their inside, that with that connection and relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, it kind of signifies the importance of having taqwa, the importance of being fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What good is it for an individual to be true in front of the eyes of people and not true between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That if he is between people and that he is living between people and between society, he makes himself and makes himself that he is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, when he's by himself, all alone, no one looking, no one watching, he does whatever he wants to do. He does whatever he wants to do, even if it's disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person with fear of Allah does not do that. The person with fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there are millions and millions of people watching him, and if there's no one else watching him, he stays true to what he is devoted to. He stays true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, is witnessing. And of course, taqwa al-qulub is a long topic, how to gain it, what are the benefits of it, how does a person, remain in that status.
رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Taqwa or piety, the ultimate goal of the month of Ramadan. Piety is a virtue that combines all kinds of righteousness and goodness. Hence, the Quran has given it great care and attention. It is enough to say that piety and its derivatives are mentioned in the Noble Book of Allah more than 240 times. The order and urge for piety link success to it and show the status of the pious who fear Allah much, abstain from all kinds of sins and evil deeds, and love Allah much in both in this worldly life and the hereafter. By piety, men can distinguish between truth and falsehood, good and evil, and the harmful and the beneficial. By it, sins are forgiven, as Allah Almighty has said, "O you who believe, if you obey and fear Allah, He will grant you furqan." What is the meaning of furqan? A criterion to judge between right and wrong, or a way for you to get out from every difficulty. And then in the continuation of this verse, verse 29 of chapter Anfal, it continues like this, "And will expedite for you your sins and forgive you, and Allah is the owner of the great bounty." Things that help in attaining piety. What are the things that help in attaining piety? It is not just a matter of fasting and reciting Quran, but the main purpose of this month, the month of Ramadan, is to remove the veil of negligence from the heart, to return to the real purpose of the creation, to forgive the sins committed in the last 11 months. In the next 11 months, a prayer and a passion for not committing sins should be created in the heart with a sense of accountability for the greatness of Allah, the Almighty, and accountability in the hereafter, which is called taqwa. In this way, the true spirit of Ramadan and its light and blessings will be obtained. Otherwise, it will be that Ramadan will end and go and we will not benefit from it properly, but remain empty as we were before. We will go, so a few things are pointed out by following which we will get the purpose of fasting, taqwa, and the light and blessings of Ramadan, God willing.
الهلال المبتغى فالصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا.
What is important here is that during the fast, when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's this, you know, condition, you could say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from the fierce, from the fearsome of Him, from those who have taqwa. Inna Allah yataqabbal min al-muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from those who have taqwa. Thus, when we have taqwa, or, you know, when we coordinate our worships with the taqwa that we have, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from us. Why? Because usually the person with taqwa, not only does he have knowledge or she has knowledge in the worship that they are doing, in knowledge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge of knowing why they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place, they also have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where they do not do their actions for anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not do it because their mother or father ordered them. They do not do it because society will bash them and shame them for not doing it. No, they're doing it quite simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered. They are in fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be unsatisfied with them if they did not do their obligation. So here we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, of course, reaching that taqwa al-qulub, like I stated, it needs a lot of talking, but in summary, it needs a lot of testing as well. How do you know gold is real gold? The old times, they used to burn the metal, or they used to burn that mineral that they thought was gold or not, and they would see if it would melt and not burn, then it means that it was gold. If it was burn away, then it means it wasn't gold. They used to test gold by fire. Hear the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see the goldness of the hearts. What gold hearts are there out there? So He tests them with divine exams. And these divine exams by themselves are a mercy. By themselves, they are a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us in being fearful of Him. And of course, not falling into the fearful of Him to a point where we reach of not, you know, being of, you know, losing all hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to keep us in the middle, you know, just a little bit more to the fearful side, like how it's stated in the sayings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us all safe, our family members, our loved ones safe. From now until another show, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was all for this episode of today's special. I invite you to listen to our next episode, inshallah. May Allah keep all of you safe. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and since we're marking the grand night of Qadr, on which God Almighty fixes destinies for the year to come, let us hear what the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says about destiny. Each step one takes is a step towards one's destiny.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana abil qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us that which we have done in the previous nights of this blessed month of Ramadan, especially in the nights of Qadr, and especially the du'as and supplication that we made for the hastening of the return of our Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, insha'Allah. We are now coming to the end of this blessed month. And I know from personal experience that many people get very happy during this last week that, oh, you know, fasting is coming to an end. But if we truly understood what fasting is and what this blessed month is, we would not be happy. We would actually be sad. And this is clear in the dua of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in the bidding farewell of the holy month of Ramadan, where the Imam says that you came as a friend who was much awaited and you are leaving, you know, as somebody who is being desired for. So I recommend, my dear brothers and sisters, to read the salams and the salutations that the Imam, that is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, if I'm not mistaken, the 45th dua of Sahifa Sajjad. Very beautiful. But now we come into the end of this blessed month. The hadith that we shall mention is hopefully a precursor to the next month. So obviously there will be some hadith here that will, you know, show some actions and some, you know, acts that a person can do in the holy month of Ramadan. But obviously it is now for the next month. Or you can continue it in these last few days. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your effort, in practicing upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will accept this one deed from you, because you're doing it with knowledge and you're doing it with belief in it, that it's a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is important. So one of those acts that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned us to do, and he actually said it's a gift, you know, to the person who is fasting. And that gift for the person who is fasting is that that person should perfume himself for others. You know, especially when you are attending the masjid or you are in a group of individuals, during this holy month of Ramadan, smelling good things is something good. There are obviously spiritual benefits to it, and there are a hadith to it, and there are reasons for it. Why ithr in Arabic, obviously, the ithr, and that what is known as duhan, or that oil, or that scent that a person puts on, has a particular spiritual purpose to it. So the Holy Prophet says that the gift that is given to them by Allah is this scent, this scented oils and the ithr or the perfume, and that the person should use it during the holy month of Ramadan. In these last few days, we can try and apply this, inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, the audience of IRB English Radio all over the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to the show from IRB English Radio in the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Quran. So in this holy and blessed month, the month of Quran, let's focus more on this great and holy book of God. In the holy month of Ramadan, we are with you to be more attached with the verses of the Holy Quran. So we have provided different parts in this series of shows for you, and hopefully we shall be able to present these different parts and items to you in this holy month, the month of Quran. From the key points by Brother Yasser Ibrahim, and also tajweed points by Brother Muhammad. These are different items that we shall have, and also some stories and a hadith that will come to us from IRIB English Radio. Just stay tuned and listen to Let's Recite the Quran. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, this is the 23rd day of the holy month of Ramadan. And those who have started a complete, a full khatm of the Holy Quran now naturally must be in the 23rd juz of Holy Quran. For that, we have selected a beautiful recitation of
Surah As-Sad, which is located in the 23rd Juz of the Holy Quran by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil, verses 26 to 27. Let's listen and enjoy.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. Today is the 23rd of the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, for each day, we prepare a recitation of the same juz as that day. And that is why you just listened to the recitation of Surah Sad, verses 26 to 27, by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil. And this surah and these verses are in Juz 23 of the Noble Quran. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا داود إنا جعلناك خليفة في الأرض. Okay, we have a rule of nun sakina and tanween in the phrase خليفة في الأرض. So what happens is that the nun sakina is not pronounced. Instead, the place of articulation of the letter fa is approximated, and at the same time a nasal sound is made for two vowel counts. What is the meaning of approximating the place of the place of articulation of a letter. It means bringing the articulators really close to the place of articulation of that letter, but not making it touch the place of articulation of that letter. So we use the upper front teeth and the lower lip to pronounce fa. When we apply ikhfa, the upper front teeth get really close to the lower lip, but they don't touch the place of articulation of fa. And this is ikhfa. And the lips, the teeth, are held in that position for two vowel counts with a nasalization. خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. In the phrase فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ, we have إِخْفَى مِيم سَاكِنَة. After the ميم ساكنة, there is the letter ba. So إِخْفَى مِيم سَاكِنَة takes place whenever there is a ba after a ميم ساكنة. How do you apply إِخْفَى مِيم سَاكِنَة? Basically, you bring the lips really close to each other, but you don't close the lips completely. You allow a small space to be in between the lips. And then you make a nasal sound for two vowel counts while the lips are in that position. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In the phrase عَن سَبِيل, we have another إِخْفَى نُون سَكْنَة. And as you can see, we have to approximate the place of articulation of سين this time. عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. Again, we have another إِخْفَى نُون سَكْنَة. As you can see, when we apply ikhfa, you can guess what letter is going to come after the nun sakana or the tanween. عذابٌ شديد. شديدٌ بما. Again, we have iqlab of nun sakana, which is similar to ikhfa of mim sakana. Iqlab of nun sakana is just like ikhfa of mim sakana. The nun sakana turns into a mim sakana, and that mim sakana is pronounced with ikhfa. So we have shadidun bima nasu yawm al hisab. Okay, we don't have time to continue with the next verse, so that's it for today's program of Let's Recite the Quran. I now invite you to listen to the next segment of this program. Thank you.
Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, now it's time to listen to some key concepts from 23rd Juz of Holy Quran by Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to our program where we were discussing the 23rd part of the Holy Quran on this the 23rd day of the blessed month of Ramadan. And we hope and we pray that all of your actions, all your a'mal, all your acts of worship, all your good intentions were accepted in these nights of Qadr, insha'Allah. So this, the 23rd part of the Holy Quran, contains four surahs. It contains the remainder of the heart of the Holy Quran, that is Surah Yasin, from verse number 28 to the end of the chapter. It then contains the entirety of Surah Safat and the entirety of Surah Sa'd. It then continues and includes Surah Zumar until the 31st verse of that particular blessed chapter. So verses, so surahs number 36, 37, 38, and 39. So what are some of the things that we can or should pay attention to in this part of the Holy Quran? In Surah Yasin, we read in the 65th verse of this chapter, that on the day of judgment we will not be able to speak for ourselves, but rather the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, our hands, our eyes, our legs, our tongues, our ears, everything that we have been blessed, our hearts even, will confess to what we use them for and to what we've done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, or says in the Holy Quran, in the 65th verse of this blessed chapter, the heart of the Holy Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Today we shall seal their mouths, and their hands shall speak to us, and their feet shall bear witness concerning what they use to earn. So this is one of the, you know, scary aspects of the Day of Judgment, that our free will, so to speak, will be removed, and the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show their reality and how we use them in this world. In Surah Sa'd, there's an important lesson for us to take, and that is that createdness, or the way in which we are created, is not a means of superiority, of being better over anything else. And this is in the story of Iblis, and not prostrating, and not listening rather to the order of prostration by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Adam alayhi salam, and the very excuse that he made, that I have been created in a certain way, he has been created in a certain way, I feel that my creation, because of how I am created, is better than him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here immediately, you know, banishes him from the threshold, or from his divine threshold. So in verses number 75 and 76 of this blessed surah, that is Surah Sa'd, which is the 38th chapter of the Holy Quran, we read, after obviously the conversation that happened and the order, and Allah then asking Iblis, why have you not prostrated, Iblis? Na'udhu billahi min, Allah protect us from him, says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. I am better than him, he said. You created me from fire, and you created him from clay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, begone, hence, for you are indeed an outcast. And indeed my curse will be on you until the day of retribution. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to make us realize that true superiority is in taqwa, is in our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that does not give us the means to do anything that shows superiority to the khalq and to the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until our next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters, many thanks for staying tuned and listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRM English Radio. In case you have any questions, criticisms or feedback, we'd be more than happy to have it from you if you send it to us through englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find the early recordings of these series on parstoday.com under the Call of Islam Radio. Thank you very much. Till another show, I'd like to leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You're the month of the noble Quran, a pillar of Islam you are. Laylatul Qadr is you, the fasting starts at Suhoor, and we break it at iftar, and we're praying all night and day. Ramadan. If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up, in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day, when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam dini, wa la'adham ghayru dini, wa
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Because we are in the month of Ramadan, we wanted to, hover around the questions regarding fasting and Ramadan, but according to Ayatollah Sistani. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ashraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazvini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, who is a kaseer safar, a frequent traveler?
A person who travels too often and technically he's called kaseer as-safar is someone who travels 10 days a month and 60 days and 6 months. Okay, the journey should be continuous. For example, if you travel for 1 month for 10 days and then you do not travel for the next and in the following year month, you do not travel. You stay in your hometown. And then again, after the second month, you again travel for 10 days. Okay? This is not considered continuation or continuous journey. You should be traveling for 60 days and 6 continuous months, consecutive months. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you are not considered to be a frequent traveler. So, the rules regarding frequent traveler is clear. A person who travels too often, let's say 10 days a month, should offer full prayers, and he should also observe fast, no matter where he is, whether he is in his hometown or whether he is on a journey or whether he is somewhere else, wherever he goes, okay? Even if he does not take the regular course of journey, or maybe he is not going to the same place every month. He, for example, let's consider Tehran and Qom. A person goes to Tehran every 10 days a month. But then in the next month he goes to Isfahan or another city, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make any difference whether you are going to the same, traveling the same distance or going to the same
right.
destination, or you change your destination, go to somewhere else. And either in both cases, of course, that person has to observe fast and also offer complete prayers.
Yes. We are talking about drivers or traders, for
yes.
example, business people, right? But
these
what
are,
about tourists?
These
are the tourists, in fact, considered frequent travelers?
No. No, drivers and tourists, drivers, truck drivers, okay, taxi
chauffeurs,
drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are people who are professionally travelers.
Mm-hmm.
These are professional travelers.
Right.
And these are exceptions, meaning that they should, because of their profession, because they always live on journey and they are traveling back and forth, they should observe fast. And the same is the case with nomads, with Bedouins,
mm-hmm.
who travel on the deserts, and of course they are always on the move, traveling from one place to another place.
Yes.
These are people who should observe fast and offer full prayers.
And so you mentioned that the dimension of place is not important. I mean,
yes.
their destination is not important,
sure.
but rather the criterion is based on the time.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what I got, my impression from your speech is that every 3 days of, let's say...
A week,
every 3 days, basically,
yes.
right? If you travel, you're considered a frequent traveler.
Traveler,
so all
yes.
of the rules related to this kind of person, in fact, applies to you too.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Sheikh Sabit, what are the areas where both qaza of the fast and kafara become obligatory for the person?
Generally speaking, when someone breaks his fast intentionally
mm-hmm.
and with something haram, you see, like for example, eating and drinking wine, eating pork, okay?
Mm-hmm.
According to Ayatollah Sistani, okay, we are talking, explaining here the rules regarding fast according to the fatwa and position of Ayatollah Sistani. So he's of the view that haram things like, for example, masturbation, like staying in janaba, okay,
mm-hmm.
staying in janaba or eating and drinking, these are things you can do deliberately and intentionally.
Right.
And defying God's order, defying God's command, you're doing this knowingly and deliberately. In that case, you have to give the qada, you have to give kafara of both fasting for 60 days and also feeding 60 poor people. And these people should be different people. They cannot be, you cannot give 60, let's say, kilos of food or foodstuff or 6750 kilos plus, okay,
mm-hmm.
to the same person. The kafara should be, the kafara for breaking your fast intentionally should be given to 60 different people.
Right.
And they should be believing, faithful Shia Muslims. You cannot give it to, let's say, to a Christian, you cannot give it to a non-Muslim neighbor, and you cannot give it even to someone who is nominally Muslim, but who is not practicing, he is not doing anything to show or to indicate that he is Muslim, okay?
Right.
So that poor person must be faithful and practicing.
Mm-hmm. Sheikh Tawid, yes.
Yes.
Do you want to say something?
Yeah.
Right.
If, for example, you are breaking your fast because of illness, because of an excuse that has developed, okay? Of course, you are breaking it because of an excuse. And in that case, you are supposed to give only the qada, and there's no kafara whatsoever.
I see. You know, what you're talking about, when you look at the kafara, is too much to bear, even for one day.
Sure.
All right? If you miss your fast for one day, as you said, you have to either feed 60 people, poor people,
yes.
or you have to actually do the qada of the fast as a penalty for 60 days, but yes. 31 days in a row, basically,
yes,
at the beginning. But imagine a situation where a person is a sinful one and intentionally, because of his or her way of life, she missed a lot of years, years of fasting, right? And she missed out on different consecutive Ramadans. So now she or he has come back to his or her senses and repents, all right, basically. And then wants to do the qaza or offer the penalty. But if you imagine 30 years, 30 by 30, 60, that would be too much or innumerable.
Yeah, you're right.
Too much to bear. Even financially speaking, he or she might not be able to afford that kind of, let's say, feeding, right, the poor. Or let alone he wants to or she wants to do the qada of the fast. So what do you say about that?
Well, this is a question asked by, you know, by muqallideen of Ayatollah Sistani quite often. And they want to know, and actually they wonder whether they should give the qada of all the 60, let's say 30 different days.
Mm-hmm.
And each day they are supposed to give, let's say, to feed 60 people or fast for 60 days, 31 days in a row. But Ayatollah Sistani says in reply, okay, you should fast for 60 days only as a kafara. He does not mention clearly or explicitly that this is the kafara of which day or what day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He says if you want to get relieved of the obligation to give kafara, you should observe fast for 60 days. Or if you cannot fast for 60 days, then you should feed 60 people. And he does not come and say it in a straight away manner that this is you should give kafara for all the days separately. No. He says that if you want to give kafara, in a general way, you should fast for 60 days. And if that individual cannot give the kafara, because kafara is very difficult to give, and it's very difficult to fast for 60 days or feed those many people to their fill, so then, of course, the next step that a person can take is to repent and seek divine forgiveness, which we call istighfar, okay?
Right.
And istighfar is the only thing a poor person or a weak person who cannot fast can do. You see, istighfar is always recommended for a person who commits sins,
right,
no matter whether he pays the penalty or not, because a sinner has to repent, and it's obligatory to repent and seek divine forgiveness under all circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. There are many more questions that I hopefully, and God willing, will ask you in the next episodes to come. Thank you very much for accepting our offer and coming to the studio and shedding some light on these questions related to this special holy month of Ramadan. If there is a cream of the crop for everything, if there is a bride for everything, I guess that Ramadan is the cream of the crop, the bride of all months that there are to it in these 12 months. So please keep us in your du'as, especially in this holy month. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kutiba alaykumus-siyam.
O you have faith, prescribed for you is fasting, as it was prescribed for those who were before you, so that you may be God.